Our Heavenly Father is so good to us in His majesty and His glory to continue to teach us of Himself and give us more and more of Himself as we continue along in this daily kingdom battle that the Lord has called us to be involved in. We know Him better. He gives us more of Himself. And that's really what we're discovering as we look at prayer. Prayer is about knowing God, and everything else that He puts us through in this life is meant to bring us into deeper fellowship with Him. Today we'll look at verses 9 through 13 in Luke chapter 11, the last section that the Lord Jesus gives here about prayer. And I'm so thankful that this particular piece of Scripture is coming to us at this time, instructing us in all the ways that God brings us to Himself through the ways that He works in us and gives us prayer burdens. And through these burdens, we know Him better, the greatest gift of all. Let's stand together. Verses 1 through 22, I'll be reading from chapter 11. Please listen carefully. This is God's holy and infallible Word. Now it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.' And He said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within and say, "Do not trouble me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you." I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So, I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub.' And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils." And thus ends the reading of God's Word. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever asked yourself, what is prayer? What is it? What's happening? I believe we can say from these scriptures that we've been studying that prayer, at its essence, is simply holy and unbroken communion with God, based upon His character and aiming for His glory. This is Christian prayer. And prayer that forgets God, who He is, His character, His nature, and prayer that forgets His glory inevitably declines into monotonous, self-absorbed boredom. But when we, brothers and sisters, when we Christians, by His grace and by His power, learn from Him, and we learn of Him. Oh, study Him. Learn of Him, brothers and sisters. When we learn of Him, we find our Heavenly Father's faithfulness, His power, and His glory ever drawing us to Him. Ever assuring us in that drawing that we are forgiven, we are welcome. Ever growing our faith and our trust towards Him. In addition, such prayers will come forth as cries for His glory to settle upon every heart in every land. Unveiled glory, bringing His kingdom to every heart, to every home, to every homeland, driving out darkness as far as the curse is found. So in today's text, we see the ground of our prayers is revealed to us in this story. The faithfulness of God to always give us His Holy Spirit, to always give us more of Himself, our greatest treasure. See, the application of last week's parable, when we looked at the host who went to get bread from a friend at midnight, that same application is revealed and expanded, giving us the greatest possible certainty that we can expect God our Father to hear us, to demonstrate and to open up His presence and His kingdom to all His warrior children who come to Him without exception. Without exception. So in today's message, as I've told you, it's entitled Knowing and Trusting God in Prayer. We'll find that what we know about God and His kingdom brings us to Him. But we'll also find that these kingdom gaps that we're experiencing in our prayers to Him are the very spots where He gives us His Spirit. It's those places where we come to know Him better. We'll first look at the commands, ask, seek, and knock. We'll then look at the promises underlying each of these commands. You know, every command is undergirded with a promise. And we see receiving, finding, and entering are the three promises connected to these three great commandments in prayer. And then knowing our weakness and providing us even greater strength and confidence in prayer, the Lord gives us this most beautiful comparison between earthly fathers and our Heavenly Father, and even a comparison between the kinds of gifts that we earthly fathers give and the gift that God our Father gives to us as children. And then, as usual, some questions to know and to love and to obey our great God more and more. So first of all, the commands, ask, seek, and knock. We've all heard this, have we not? So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. These are very clear, decisive promises, commands and promises that God gives us. These are bedrock, immovable commands and promises that guide us into prayer. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Before we get into each one, it's important to see that these three actions, y'all now listen, they demonstrate the path of seeking out from God that which we need to do His will in this earth. You know, all of this is going back to the three petitions that we give to God for daily bread, daily pardon, and daily protection. And so we see here that there's this knowledge that Jesus has that we're going to be reluctant to ask. We're going to limit what we ask for. We're going to think we're going to over-ask. We're going to overextend our Father's mercy and graciousness. So He goes through two separate parables to say, go to Him. Ask, seek, and knock. It's a process that God takes us through. This prayer is a process that He takes us through to receive from Him the things that are lacking for His kingdom to come to this earth and for His will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's that gap we've discussed between His glory and this globe. We ask and we seek and we knock in the kingdom context for daily bread, daily pardon, and daily protection, as we've discussed already. And so these verses that we're looking at, 5 through 13, we looked at 5 through 8 last week, and now 9 through 13 this week, they're all about reassuring us. We need this reassurance. It's all about reassuring us, the people of God, that we are always, without exception, welcome to come to God as His children and request from Him our daily bread, daily pardon, and daily protection. Our hearts are so weak. Our faith is so small. You know, we'll always be tempted to limit the extent of our requests before God. As long as we look at ourselves and base our prayers upon our own merits or our own strength or our own wisdom or our own supplies. John Knox teaches us, give me Scotland or I die. These are the kinds of prayers that come forth from hearts who are caught up in God and His kingdom and are focused upon Him and His glory. See, that's what happened when we look at Him. He takes us into limitless requests for Him. Why give me Scotland or I die? Why not put hills? Oh God, give us this globe or I die. Give me my friend's heart or I die. Give me all of these glorious kingdom requests that we're called to make before Him, lest I die. So this entire section is meant to greatly and firmly establish us as confident warrior children, ever in the presence of God, ever seeking Him and His glory. These are continual actions. It's not something that you're ever going to finish in this life. Bach says the three present imperatives, so the Greek form of the word here, indicate the disciples are to ask, seek, and knock continually. So this is your life. Prayer is life for us Christians. It's not just what you do in your closet in the morning. It's not just what you do as you think and pray to God throughout the day. Prayer is your life. And as we'll see, so much of it is actually actions that you carry out in connection with your prayers. The asking. What's going on with this word, asking? This imperative is also demonstrating to us the extension of God's open ear to hear us, His people, assuring us that He will give us what is needed. Ask is to ask, of course, to beg, to call for, to crave something, to desire it, even to see that it's required. So this action of asking God originates from this place of need where we are aware that we don't have what is necessary. Similar to last week's message where there's the host who doesn't have bread. He said, I have nothing to set before Him. You see, brothers and sisters, a prerequisite to genuine Christian prayer is the awareness of total spiritual poverty and weakness. You can't enter into this prayer until God has done this for you. Only from this spot of experienced helplessness do we really beg and crave and require help from God. This is what happens to us when we enter into kingdom living, is we experience the very, very limited ability that we have in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own ways. We taste of it. And we see the glory of God not being experienced by others or ourselves. And we know there's nothing we can do about it. And so we ask. Has God done this to you? Have you ever found yourself without words to say? Without any wisdom to even make a plan for how to deal with something? utterly, utterly unsure of how to proceed, peering into a situation you know that you cannot in the least bit supply or assist? Have you ever found yourself distrusting yourself more than anyone else in the situation? See, this is where asking starts. This action goes forth towards God with faith in Christ that our Heavenly Father will always listen to us. So as we're laying out before Him our helpless estate, He always listens. We seek His glory in His kingdom, and we see that we do not have it to give within ourselves and with our own resources. This is what He's asking. But what is the seeking? It goes on. The prayer goes on from the asking. So the first imperative we looked at demonstrates God's open ear to hear us. The second imperative continues that. He hears us, but we see God also opens His mind to us, to engage with us in our prayers, and to guide us toward finding that which is needed. So this process, this word seek, really is about the process that God takes us through to get to the door that He's going to open, whatever that door is going to be. And God engages with us. His mind opens to us, and we receive the counsel of God. Our Father speaks to us by His Word and by His Spirit to show us where to find the things that are needful. And often He will have to change us to show us what is needful. And we'll talk about that later when we are like silly children and we ask for scorpions sometimes instead of asking for bread. So, this phase of our prayers will include not just time when you're alone with God praying, but this is a way of meditation. It's a way of life before God in your thoughts. It'll include the wise consideration before God of all the ways that He takes us through the process of finding what is needed. So when you're a kingdom person praying these kingdom prayers because you love God and you adore His holiness and you desire for the gap between His glory and His globe to be filled up with His glory, when you're praying prayers like that, He's going to take you through the process to find the provision for what is needed in this world at that moment to advance His kingdom in that spot. What will He use to teach you, to help you in the seeking? He will use principles from His Word. He will use providential occurrences. Things will happen around you that will be ways that He guides you. There will be the inner work of His Holy Spirit where He will grant you peace as you are considering certain paths. There will be counsel that you will receive from trusted advisors as you are seeking to know and find the provision for the kingdom. There will be honest self-evaluation as we were singing and as we were praying today about distrusting ourselves and laying aside as best as we can things that distract us from His kingdom and from His glory and looking instead to Him. There's a model that's been put together by Pastor Phil Kaiser, the quad perspectivalism. So there's four different perspectives that we see in Scripture, at least four, in terms of seeking wisdom. Finding wisdom in this path of crying out to God for kingdom provision. I've listed the four there for you. All four of these will come to bear on the consideration of anything where you're seeking God. In this situation, it most directly pertains to seeking God's will, understanding a question that you're asking Him. But it can apply to any kingdom need. What's the morality? The ethics from God's Word. What is right and wrong? First of all, that will limit your choices to a certain list of things that are acceptable. What is the trajectory of what you're doing? Is it going to edify and build up? That will further limit your options as you consider the situation. And then you have to go into your own heart before God. Why are you doing this? Is it because you love God and you love your neighbor? And then finally, with all those limiting applications, you have choices remaining, and then you say, okay, I've got to look at the situation, the here and the now, the right now with these people, and figure out, in this context, other principles, other forces that are at work that help me sort through these decisions. God leads us as we seek Him. And this is the path of wisdom. And it's full-orbed. As you think through these things, you probably can see in your own life one of these areas where you're heavier than others. Maybe you don't have a lot of counselors. Maybe you totally distrust any sort of subjective move of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you rely way too much on providential occurrences. Maybe you just only think in terms of ethics and morality, and you become dogmatic and you don't realize that there's more than one acceptable choice. See, if you only rely on ethics and morality and there's nothing else, then you'll try to keep paring down the options and make only one acceptable moral choice. That's legalism. So I think you can see what we're getting at is there's wisdom in decision making that comes from considering all of what God's Word has to say about thinking through a situation. Bach says, in this seeking, there's an invitation to pursue God and His will. So prayer is a process. I think we need to see that. This is a daily prayer. We know this. And so we're discovering that it's a process, and often it will require long waits before God. Long waits before God as we seek from Him what is necessary for His kingdom and His glory. Perhaps we seek Him for some kingdom gap that we observe that He gives to our offspring or to someone else on behalf of the prayers that we've prayed. So has God taken you through this, Christian? Have you experienced this in your prayer life with God? Do you understand that prayer is a process that God takes us through to teach us about Him, to teach us about His glory, and to bring us closer to Him? Do you see this? Do you see that? It's not just about getting what you're asking for, what you're seeking, or what's behind the door. It's not just about that. So what is this knocking? Well, this imperative goes beyond God's open ear to hear us and God's open mind to take us and guide us through this process of wisdom and share His mind with us. But it takes us, hallelujah, into God's open heart to His warrior children for us to have communion with Him, to experience His presence, to walk with God. Enoch walked with God. That's what this is about, brothers and sisters. This entering is about walking in the presence of God. So this entry here promised certainly includes finding the right door to enter, to find the daily bread, the daily pardon, and the daily protection, all the wisdom we need for these kingdom needs. But now listen, it goes well beyond this, taking us into God Himself. I mean, what would the journey be if Jesus were not the way? He is the way in which we walk. And as we pursue His kingdom, He is with us. And we learn of Him. And it's so encouraging that He will be there every day. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us And so you can see, this entering into is by no means dependent upon obtaining the kingdom need at that time. Do you see that? There is an entering into that is promised here that is utterly disconnected from whether God moves to supply that kingdom need at that moment. It's Himself. So this knocking presents to us the invitation to come into God's very presence. This is the entering behind the entering. We read in John 10, do we not? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. This is good news, brothers and sisters. Bach says, in knocking, there's the picture of coming into God's presence and blessing. So this may be the key point of this whole message, is that all of the seeking for kingdom provisions, protection, and for pardon, these things we have to have, and he knows this, but there's something behind it, and we have to see that. It's him. It's him that we are after. It is his glory that we seek to find in our lives day by day. So as you pray to God and enter into this process of receiving from him all his promises in regards to kingdom provisions, brothers and sisters, listen, even children, do you understand that God will lead you to doors and that you must take the steps of faith to knock upon those doors? You have to do that. You have to knock upon the doors. And as you're doing this and seeking these kingdom provisions for the sake of his glory, you need to keep in mind and realize, do you, that the process is ultimately designed by God to bring you to him, knocking daily on his door, entering into the Father's presence daily by the Son's work, who is the door into God's presence, over and over and over again, being saved, going in and out daily, and finding pasture for your soul. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me to green pastures and beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You set a table for me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. He anoints our head. And you just think it can't go on, can it? Oh, but it will go on. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we, brothers and sisters, will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so this process of doing God's will in this earth cannot be separated from knowing God, and nor can knowing God be separated from doing God's will in this earth. It's how he's designed it. It's how he's made it. So what are the promises? I say to you, therefore, it's receiving, finding, and entering. Those are the three promises. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. There's one. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Bach says, to each action there's a corresponding response. It will be given. The disciple will find, and the door will be opened. The verbs in the response are artistically balanced. God supplies as the disciple seeks, and the disciple discovers what God supplies in his response. So the promise attached to asking is receiving. It will be given to you to bestow a gift, to grant, to supply to you, to deliver to you. And then the other side of it is to receive. When God gives, then we gain, we obtain. We lay hold of what he has given to us. We collect to ourselves what he gives to us. We receive it. Ask and it will be given you. Everyone who asks receives. You know, children, you might think, well, someday when you grow up, right, Sarah? Maybe someday when you grow up, you might be able to pray like this. But it says everyone, even little girls. Maybe especially little girls. Right? I mean, children, I want you to hear this. That this message is for you as well. When you pray, it says everyone who asks receives. When you pray in faith to God, everyone. You know, what about some of the older folks in our congregation? Maybe you might think, well, I've had all my prayers answered already. You know, I don't need to ask any more prayers. Or whatever's going on in your life that makes you think somehow this is an exception for you. Everyone. So when we enter into the brokenness and the emptiness of our own soul and our own resources, remember that's the foundation for asking, and we crave for God's provision, for God's kingdom and for God's glory, and we're longing for this. And we ask Him to supply the gifts that we need to do His will. We ask Him for these things. Listen now, without exception, in every case, forever, now and forever, invincibly, we will receive that which is necessary. We will. Do you believe this? Do you ask God with this promise in mind? Do you have this kind of certainty in your prayers? And note the way I phrased it. We will receive that which is necessary. We may be asking for a scorpion. We may be asking for a serpent. We may be asking for a stone that we think is going to fix and fit into this kingdom need. Right? Because that's our prayer. We want the kingdom to expand, but we're really going to ask for, we're asking for something that's not helpful. Well, you know what? He's going to still answer the prayer. Praise be to God. Isn't that wonderful? Our silly, short-sighted, myopic prayers that we pray because we can't see everything, He still sees our heart's desire for His glory in that situation, and He can translate it into something good. And He can give a fish or bread instead. You know what? We need to have breakfast together someday, y'all, and have fish and bread and eggs as a demonstration of God's goodness to us. Wouldn't that be great? Fish and bread and eggs. All right, somebody put that together. We're going to have to do that. I'm kind of hungry thinking about it. So I hope that you will pray with this promise in mind. Seeking. Well, the promise connected to seeking is finding. Okay, it's a beautiful promise, isn't it? To come upon, to hit upon, to meet with after searching. I thought of some of those exciting movies that we've seen that are treasure hunt kind of movies. You know, we get all the clues, and or maybe some of the games we might play where you have to keep the little golden orb over here for later, or the little shining jewel over here for later. And God does that in our lives. You know, all of that fantasy stuff is not as good as reality. God does this in our lives. He gives us things along the way. You may have found something already that you don't realize that is an answer to a future prayer. So He gives us what we need, and we find it as we search for it. So no Christian has ever searched in vain for the kingdom provisions. Ever. It's impossible. You cannot search in vain. You cannot ask in vain. You cannot seek in vain. It is the discovery of that which has been sought. There are no fruitless searches for the warrior child of the Heavenly Father. There are no fruitless searches for you here today, those of you who are in Christ, when they're kingdom searches, when they're prayed in this context for His glory's sake. So, as you begin your prayerful search for His provisions, do you know for sure that you will find His pearls along the way? Are you certain of this? How sure are you? Right? Ask yourself, are there doubts inside of there? Well, if there are doubts inside of there, then the story that's coming up is just for you. Because there's a story coming because we have doubts. The knocking, the promises entering. It will be open to you. The door will open and you will be able to enter. Now, I want us to see the personal nature of this promise. It will be opened to you. So Jesus is telling His disciples and all His warrior children, that's you and me, that this promise is not just for churches or for movements or for families or for nations. It's also for individuals. So as you pray and you seek the Lord for whatever it is in your life that He's showing you is a kingdom need in your life, it's for you. This promise is for you. So as you're in the process of kingdom prayers before our Heavenly Father, as He's leading you through understanding the gap between the kingdom and the world, what is your level of certainty that He will lead you to a door that will open to supply the kingdom need? What is your level of certainty about that? Well, this verse says that it should be, it can be, 100% certainty. There can be no doubt when you pray kingdom prayers. God will hear us, God will lead us, and God will open the way for us. Not in the way we may think or desire, but in accordance with His plan, in accordance with His glory, in accordance with His kingdom. And I will tell you, it's usually a lot bigger and way more astonishing than what you ask for. I'm sure Moses was looking for boats
God parted the sea. That's what He does. That's how He shows His greatness. See, we look for solutions within, you know, God. We don't even know what He has in mind for those who love Him. We can't even fathom it. We don't know how He might supply. So what's the comparison? Well, let me say this. Bach says, the point is not that one gets exactly and always what one asks for, but that God supplies graciously in terms of the request. So you have to understand what it means to receive, what it means to find, what it means for the door to be open to you. If you've got false definitions of that, then you're going to be confused. But if you understand what those answers are, then you'll always be encouraged. It doesn't mean that you get exactly what you want. As I've said already, Moses is probably praying for boats. But it often means you get more than you want. It usually means you get way more than you expect. Usually. Because that's how God works. Our prayers are small compared to what He longs and enjoys to give to us. Our prayers are often so small. Like, Daddy, can I just have one grape? Well, how about this whole bunch of grapes? Right? You know, you see? So here's the comparison. Earthly fathers versus our Heavenly Father. Now the Lord, He knows, doesn't He? The persistent weakness of our faith. You may here feel weak in faith. The Lord goes on here to strengthen these commands and promises with a comparison that's meant to finally drive away all our doubts about our great God. This comparison is meant to do that for us. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will He give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will He give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will He offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So about earthly fathers, what do we learn? Well, we don't really have to be convinced of this, do we, brothers? Any of you guys out there who are also fathers? You know, we're evil. Even the best of fathers, we are told here in this text, are evil. Have you ever considered that about yourself, dads? You're evil. We are all fallen and stained by our sin, and we should really distrust ourselves at all times. That's true about each and every one of the fathers on this earth. Yet, even in such corrupted sinners like us, dignity, even for unbelievers, almost always wins out over depravity when it comes to parenting. Now, today's world, I got to tell you, it's really falling apart. I see so many moms who come in and dad is nowhere to be seen. And yet, here's the moms giving food to those children. Even unbelieving parents give food to their hungry children in general. I've seen families where it's very obvious that the income was being made through illegal measures, and there was a spiritual darkness about them that was almost oppressive, and yet they're at the office because their child's nose is too stuffy, and they want some relief for their child, and they're feeding their baby. This is what we're talking about here. Sproul says, what kind of diabolical father would smile at his hungry child and say, here's an egg, my son, and then hand the boy a scorpion? Such a father would be a disgrace to the community. Jesus is making the point that even fallen, corrupt, earthly people know how to give good gifts to their children. So, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who doesn't know how to be evil, give good gifts when we ask Him? So there's the comparison meant to drive away all of our doubts. Our Heavenly Father, He is perfect, and He is holy, and He is filled to overflowing, infinite overflowing, with untainted affection and love towards us in Christ. So in the word Father, before your eyes should first come the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you hear the word Father,
see your Savior suffering for you. There lies your certainty. See Him raised from the dead, the Father accepting His sacrifice on your behalf. See Him disappearing into the clouds, as we've read today. See Him enthroned, as we've heard. See Him pouring out His Spirit. See the Lord Jesus Christ when you hear Father. Think of Jesus and the infinite benevolence of God the Father that is yours in Him. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I think we need to all let that little phrase echo in our minds. How much more? Don't you love the understatement? How much more? Galaxies more. Universes more. Infinite universes of universes more. How much more no mathematician can ever calculate. How much more no theologian can ever put into words. How much more no philosopher can ever wrap their mind around. Have you considered this in your prayers? The ground of your prayers. God's fatherly and perfect, endless affection and power towards you in Christ our Savior. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now, there's also a comparison here between the gifts that are given, not just between two fathers. Earthly fathers, we can only give food and clothes and stuff like that. We can understand that our children need bread and fish and eggs to eat and not stones and scorpions or serpents. We can figure that out. But our Heavenly Father can give much more than food. And that's a part of the message here. Our Heavenly Father can give much more than just food and relational peace and protection from our sin and the world and the devil. He can give so much more than that. You see, we often ask God for the equivalent of stones and scorpions and serpents when we seek His provision for the kingdom work. We don't know what we're asking for. We're too short-sighted. We're too ignorant to understand. But we know we want His glory when we're crying out to Him. Sometimes we think we know what we need even, and we don't. God, give me a rock and a scorpion, please. Oh, Lord, I need this. I need the serpent so bad, Lord. We probably all pray silly prayers like that before to God, thinking we have the solution. So our Heavenly Father, He alone can translate these prayers for us. Isn't that good news? That He bears with us in our weakness. He bears with us in our lack of understanding. He sees our hearts. And He then blesses us with our greatest need. Our greatest need He always blesses us with as the answer to feeble and misguided prayers. Ephesians 3 describes this. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And listen to how Paul ends this section. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God's response to our prayers is by no means limited to what we can think or ask. Isn't that good news? So finally, note that every kingdom prayer request, no matter what it is ultimately answered by God giving us His very self. I've mentioned this already. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And really, it seems to me we need to go back to the story of Mary and Martha and see how the Lord Jesus Christ set the stage for this all of this teaching here. And we'll see that one thing that is needful. Now, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Now, there's a scorpion prayer. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." That's how our prayers, the heart of our prayers, need to rest right there as we're seeking kingdom provisions. And we remember the promise that He will give us His Holy Spirit. He, the King, shall pour out His Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives more and more. He will make us more lowly. He will make us love one another more and more. He will unite His people together more and more through the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. We will receive kingdom provisions as we keep our hearts and minds focused upon Him. So do you see that all of your prayers ultimately are answered in knowing God, loving God, and enjoying God more? Do you see that? It's really simple, isn't it? Do you see how this means that the ultimate and the most important kingdom provision each day is joyful and sincere walking with God? Is that your life? A life of walking with God? Walking close to Him? So some questions to help you, to help us think these things through. What is your focus in prayer? Ask yourself, is your focus in prayer obtaining needs or receiving the Holy Spirit? I hope that you see better now that God kindly gives us the awareness of kingdom needs. Do you see this? He shows us these kingdom needs. He gives us this awareness. You see that? And then He takes us through this process, this prayer process of perceiving kingdom needs. He takes us through it where we receive and we find and we enter into His provision for the kingdom. He does this. We go through this only to discover that the best provision of all is more of God Himself. Hope you'll see that. Do you see better now why it is so important to seek first His kingdom? Do you understand how God has designed this whole process of seeking His kingdom? You're seeking Him. When you go through this process of finding the provisions that you need to do His will, the ultimate provision is more of Him. Jesus told us very clearly that when we obey Him, in the midst of obedience, because we love Him, He manifests Himself to us. That's what we're talking about. Rejoice not that spirits are subject to you, but rejoice your names are written in heaven. That's what's going on here. As we see the flow of this prayer, is that the greatest, the highest thing that we can ever receive is not victory over all the devil's forces. It is joy in the presence of God. It is adoration and worship of God, where our hearts are alive and shining with His presence, which is what we will do forever and ever. That's why it's the greatest thing. There will be no battle in heaven. There will be no kingdom battle in heaven. There will be no scorpions or stones or serpents to deal with in heaven. And that is why now the greatest thing of all is doing what we will do for all eternity. Meanwhile, we have a battle to fight. Meanwhile, in that battle, that's how we know Him better. Fix your affection on God. So here's a way to look at it. What if you seek the kingdom but not God? Oh, Foothills, forgive me. I have done this. It's not pretty. You know, it's not pretty. If you try to seek the kingdom apart from God, it just doesn't work. And in fact, you actually become one who sabotages the kingdom efforts. If you're not seeking God first, you won't be humble. You won't be broken. And a lot of things will go wrong. And you'll ultimately be trying to make the kingdom happen by your own strength. You might have the right blueprints, but you've forgotten you can't even build it. And you're running around trying to build God's kingdom yourself. You know, He still uses people who act that way. You know how He uses them? You become the cautionary tale that people tell to say, oh, don't act like him. Oh, don't be like her. I mean, even those who dig a pit for the people of God are actually building the wall of the kingdom. Everyone is doing His will. Everyone is advancing His kingdom, even the devil himself. So do you want to be that cautionary tale? I think of the first generation of those folks within the camp of Christian Reconstructionism. There's a cautionary tale for you. They were seeking the kingdom and they could not get along. And it's one story of broken relationship and broken relationship after another. Let's not be that way. Let's not be the cautionary tale. Let's go after God. Self-consciously, intentionally after knowing Him in the midst of doing His will and seeking first His kingdom. Well, now what about this? What if you try to seek God apart from loving kingdom obedience? Well, I'll tell you, it seems to me that in America, this is a great description of the church. And until individuals who are living this way grow in understanding or either repent, you'll not find the brokenness, the hunger, and the satisfaction associated with being in the battle. If there's no real battle now, if the kingdom's not coming until later, and we're not really involved in seeing daily victory and seeing the devil's forces defeated and seeing Christ advancing His kingdom over the earth, we're not really involved in that right now. It's the stress of needing kingdom provision that squeezes us to Him and makes us want Him and need the comfort of His Spirit in the midst of the work that He's calling us to do. And so these people are often very friendly, you know, but they're missing out on so many opportunities to know God. And there's just a sense of an absence of depth there. So do you want to be that cautionary tale? That person who was living a life not really in the battle and missing out on opportunities to know God more deeply in this life. You know, both of these paths, I think, relate to that scripture where we see that God will wipe away our tears in heaven. When He shows us that we were missing out on knowing Him through not seeking Him and His kingdom. So are you continually caught up in this process? Ask yourself, what is your confidence level in this type of prayer life? Consider wisdom and courage. Do you see the connection between seeking the kingdom of God and growing in wisdom? And do you see the connection between knocking on doors and having courage? So God teaches us so much. We grow in character through this process. Wisdom, courage. Brothers and sisters, do you take great comfort that our great God turns our stone and serpent and scorpion prayers into a nice breakfast? Bread and eggs and fish. And then He does it over and over and over again, always giving us more than we ask. Him and Himself, ultimately, and that we can expect this from Him all the days of our lives. Is this your life with God? Are you walking? Are you walking with God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are Your children. We are in Your arms, and we are walking in the wake of the glory of Christ, seeking to go in your footsteps, Lord Jesus. And as we do so, Lord, we pray. We draw near to you. We love you. We desire your glory over the whole earth. And we thank you, Lord, that you take us through this process of seeking kingdom provisions for your glory. And that as we do so, Lord, you promise to not only give us the kingdom, but to give us your very self. Oh, we worship you and we praise you again in this day, God, for your goodness and your kindness and your glory and your holiness and your certain victory over all of your enemies. Oh, we worship you. In Jesus' name.